From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of Praying for Ourselves to be Happy, Holy Christians, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional, Sins of Ignorance. The text is found in Numbers chapter 15, verse 25. And it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance. Because of our ignorance, we are not fully aware of our sins of ignorance. Yet we may be sure that they are many, in the form of both of commission and omission. We may be doing in all sincerity, as a service to God, that which He has never commanded and can never accept. The Lord knows these sins of ignorance, every one. This may well alarm us, since in justice He will require these trespasses at our hand. But on the other hand, faith spies comfort in this fact, for the Lord will see to it that stains unseen by us shall yet be washed away. He sees the sin, that he may cease to see it by casting it behind his back. Our great comfort is that Jesus, the true priest, has made atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel. That atonement secures the pardon of unknown sins. His precious blood cleanses us from all sin, whether our eyes have seen it and wept over it or not. God has seen it. Christ has atoned for it. The Spirit bears witness to the pardon of it, and so we have a threefold peace. O my Father, I praise Thy divine knowledge, which not only perceives my iniquities, but provides an atonement which delivers me from the guilt of them, even before I know that I am guilty.
Love to
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Dr. Cairns is now dealing with the second division of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, which includes the words, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." From our need for a sight of the glory and grace of God, the prayer now turns to the everyday concerns of life. As the Bible shows abundantly, God is concerned about the well-being of His people during their earthly lives. These petitions are intended to humble us by showing us ourselves, our poverty, our depravity, our folly, and our frailty. By showing us ourselves as we really are, these petitions force us to cast ourselves entirely upon God. Now to continue this message, praying for ourselves to be happy, holy Christians, here is Dr. Cairns.
I think one of the greatest weaknesses in the modern church is that we have reduced prayer to asking God to rubber stamp the already arrived at decisions of the flesh. We have our committees. We have our planning. We have this. We have that. We have the other thing. Many missionary societies now even have a database on a computer system that will select candidates for this field or that field or the other field. And they will say, by your training, by your education, by your disposition, by your health, by this, by that, you should go there. If there had been computers in the day of CT, study would never have made it to the mission field. The Holy Ghost does not lead us to pray, Lord, put your rubber stamp on our decisions arrived at without God. Prayer brings us to the Lord empty, poor, and urgently needy. When a sinner first comes to Christ, how can he come? Unless he comes this way, he does not come. He makes a mockery of coming. And all the decisionism of modern churches that racks up numbers of converts on some other basis is but a figment of depraved imagination. How does a sinner come to Christ? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. I come poor, naked, and needy, and I must find my sufficiency for salvation alone in Christ. That's the way a sinner comes. And when that sinner is saved by grace, he must always come on exactly the same basis. Not my merit, not my ability, not my strength, but Christ and Christ alone. So the first thing that these petitions teach us about ourselves is our poverty. Second thing they teach us about ourselves is our depravity. For the next petition is, forgive us. Now we're saved. Jesus is talking here about people who are saved, who are redeemed by precious blood, regenerated by the sovereign act of the Holy Ghost, placed into union with Jesus Christ in the body which is his church of the firstborn. We are saved. But yet he says, when you come to pray for yourself, recognize not only your inward poverty, but your inward depravity, and pray, forgive us. You see, Christians must never take a light or easy view of sin. We must not fall into the relativism that has so gutted the moral fiber of America and is doing a very fair job in the church. We must not define sin just to being a step after the world. We must take a biblical view of sin and righteousness. And we must recognize what the Apostle Paul said. And this is the greatest preacher in the world. This is the greatest missionary on earth. This is the man who was so Christ-like and so blessed in his communion that he was brought up into the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, he couldn't tell. He was in close communion with God, hearing and seeing such things as it was even unlawful to speak about. And this man says, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform I find not. And looking at that flesh, he cried, O wretched man that I am! Every time I read a verse like that, I must say, I have to be careful. Because I can get very angry when I think of all the self-esteem specialists that are running around doing ungodly seminars in the name of Jesus Christ in Christian churches. Telling you that the way for you to succeed in life is to adopt the notions of the world of how to look at yourself. Whereas the Apostle Paul is saying, I look inside, and instead of trying to feel good about myself, I recognize another law warring within my members. I find something in me. And I'm not going to blame it on the devil. It's not the devil. It is me. It is my flesh. It is my old man. Warring against God. When I would do good, this evil old man is still within me. Oh, wretched man that I am. That's a Christian view of sin. Sin is not just to be externalized, that you do this and you don't do that. Oh, that's an outworking of your doctrine of sin and righteousness. But sin must not be reduced to little externalities. Sin is an inbred, indwelling vileness that will not depart till death or glorification. If we say that we have no sin, 1 John 1:8 tells us we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 goes even further and says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. When you come to pray, never, never forget your poverty, your inward depravity. Because that recognition of inward depravity will lead you to the cross. The new man within you will always come to the fountain filled with blood. There will therefore be a magnifying of Christ and a longing after true holiness. We learn our depravity. We learn our folly. Lead us. Why? Because left to ourselves, we will always wander. That's the picture the Savior's giving us here. Oh, it humbles us. Many and many a time I pray, when I think of God leaving Hezekiah to try him, many a time I cry to God, leave me not for one second even to try me, because I'd be no better than Hezekiah. No wiser than Hezekiah. Left to ourselves, we wander. The mind of the flesh is enmity against God. And always so. The nature of man is always to go astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. And Christians must always be wary of this fleshly folly. Do you remember what the psalmist prayed in the 119th Psalm, verse 176? I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now, to the mind of the ungodly, there's an open contradiction there. To the mind instructed by the Spirit, there's no contradiction. But on the one hand, he's saying, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. On the other hand, he says, Lord, I am thy servant, and I have not forgotten thy commandments. How can you reconcile those two things? Very, very simply, just look in the mirror. If you're a Christian, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll know what the psalmist is talking about. With all my heart, I am thy servant. Not for all the world would I give up the word of God and give up the commandments of God. But yet, left to myself, I always wander away. In the words of the old hymn, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. prone to leave the God I love. What folly. These past Sabbath evenings we've been thinking about the life of Abraham. We have thought of his folly, following the logic of the flesh. In the case of Hagar, you can add to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, David, Peter, Paul, Barnabas. The list goes on and on and on and on. Even great men, at best, foolish. Remember that when you come to pray. And then, of course, these petitions show us our frailty. Deliver us. Our weakness here. We are no match for sin. We are no match for Satan. We are no match for the sorrows and the calamities of life. If we're going to have to carry these things, these burdens on our own shoulders, if I must find a way through all the sin and the opposition of the devil and the sorrows of life, if I must battle my way through those things, I am going to be defeated. There's no man has the ability, the power to do those things. We must confess, in the words of Jehoshaphat's great prayer, we have no might against this great company. You look at the satanic company that's against the people of God. We have no might against that. You look at the worldly company out there. We have no might against that. You look at even the things that come into your life by way of trial and temptation, sorrow and pain. These are things that would naturally drag you down to defeat. And what do? You come to the Lord confessing your frailty. Now the Savior brings these things together. Why? To humble us. Because it's only as a man sees his need that that man will urgently, really, faithfully pray. So stupid are we that give us the slightest glimmer of hope in the flesh, the slightest hope in the strength that we can muster, and we will always, without fail, depend on ourselves. So these things show us ourselves in order to humble us. But to challenge us, they show us our need. Now, I've mentioned need already, but I want to specify it a little further, because there are two kinds of need, physical and spiritual. And both of them are important. And both of them are legitimate items for prayer. But I want you to notice this. And this is the difference between the spiritual man and the carnal or the ungodly. Four petitions. Have a look at them. And three out of the four emphasize the spiritual. Now that's not to undervalue the physical, as I'll show in a moment. You go to most church prayer meetings. Now you'll have gathered from what I said in the announcements this morning, in this church I believe in praying for the sick among God's people. I believe in praying for their health. I believe in praying for their physical and material needs, as will become clear as we, or even clearer, should I say, as we proceed. But you go to most churches, and the prayer list is all health and wealth, and nothing else. Nowadays, those are the only things that churches seem to pray about. Now, it's legitimate to pray about those things. But let us not get to the place where we are so consumed with the material, so consumed with the physical, that we lose sight of what is spiritual and what is therefore eternal. As I said, this doesn't undervalue the physical. The Lord mentions your physical needs first. The very first thing he tells you to pray about yourself is what? Give us our daily bread. Why does he do that? Well, for a very simple reason. Like two very simple reasons. The very simple reasons are these. Usually your physical and material needs are the most immediate and the most obvious. And the other reason is this. It is very difficult to speak to a man about spiritual things if he's starving. The Savior knew that. That's why he fed the 5,000. He's the one who did so.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.